was nice right there. I like that. Yeah. I like that. It's good to see you this morning. We're doing several things in the service here today. And so because of that, I'm going to kind of go ahead and jump right into things. I hope that's okay. Some cool stuff we're talking about today. In fact, if you've got a Bible, go ahead and get it out. If you don't have a Bible, we've got people that have Bibles, and they're going to walk the aisle with Bibles, and they need you to raise your hand so that you can take a Bible from them so that they do this for no reason at all. If you don't own a Bible, we want to give you one. Take it home. Consider it a gift. If you do own one and you just don't have it with you and you want to borrow one, then borrow one and get one. We're going to the book of James. Oh, yeah. Going to the book of James. So this morning, last weekend, if you missed last weekend, I talked about, we taught through the first part of the book of James, the first part of chapter 1, James chapter 1. And when I was doing James 1 last week, I was looking on further in the chapter. And I don't know if you've read the book of James or not, but man, the book of James is just awesome. I mean, it's just a great passage of scripture. It always challenges me and encourages me in so many different ways. And so this morning, it's funny because I was already kind of thinking, man, I'd really like to teach through some of that sometime soon or whatever. And then this week, as we got to talking about a little project that we've been wanting to take on, Nathan actually brought up, hey, you know, what about the book of James? I was sitting there, you know, saying, man, I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to teach, but I know where we're feeling led to lead our people this week. And he threw that out and I said, man, oh, that's perfect. I was like, I was just looking at that. That'd be awesome. I'd love to do that. And so we're teaching through the latter half, not every single piece of it, but the latter half of the book of James, chapter 1 specifically. And this morning as we get into this, I just want to encourage you to be open to what God might, you know, say to your heart, challenge you to do today, that kind of stuff. Already some cool stuff has happened this morning. We'll get there and we'll get to talking about it. Let's go to James chapter 1. Look at this with me. This is a passage of scripture that James writes. As I mentioned last week, James is the brother of Jesus, if you didn't know. And of course, God is speaking through him to write this, which is awesome. And as we have this passage right here, this little section right here in the second part of chapter 1 is this section where James kind of gets into what it looks like to be true believers and really living out your faith, being doers of the word and that kind of thing. And so as we're looking at that, I think that that's important to kind of keep in context with what he's talking about, because, you know, for so many of us, we say, you know, well, I don't like hypocrites and I hate fake people and all that kind of stuff. And the truth is that some point along the way, we've been hypocrites too. We've been fake some point along the way too. At some point we put on a face, some point we smiled and said we were doing fine when, truth be known, we were doing terrible. You know, I mean, that's what that is. And the hypocritical thing, same thing. You know, there's been times in our lives where, you know, we know what the right thing is to do, but we don't do it. We're sinners. But we're reminded today in this passage of scripture as we read through this that as we are sinners, we need a Savior. All of us. All of us are sinners. All of us need a Savior. Jesus is it. We're going to talk about that. James 1, verse 19 says this. It says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And we're going to, let's look back at this. We need to camp on this. Let's just face it. We all need to camp on this, right? I mean, let's just, you know, even if we're not the type where we lash out and are like, you know, ready to like abuse somebody verbally to help ourselves feel better in a situation, the truth is that sometimes deep inside we are doing the same thing. So our heart is still in the same place, which is not a godly place. Again, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. I'll read it again. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Now, quick to hear is not what we want to hear, right? Quick to hear is not what we want to hear, because especially in a situation where we've got something to say, we think we've got something to offer the conversation, we want to set things right, right? Huh? Yes? Yes? Are you with me today? Are you guys here? Are you thinking about building snowmen? It's coming. The blizzard of 15. Just get ready, all right? We may be building snowmen in your yards tonight. All right, so this idea of this quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. That's not how we like to work a lot of times. In fact, we're so opinionated, and our opinions are so important to us that they are gospel to us a lot of times. At least that's the way we see them and think about them. You know, we're thinking about, you know, a conversation, and we've got something to offer, and we know something about that. I mean, we want our opinion to be heard. I mean, you know, like we want people to look at him and go, oh my gosh, man, that guy knows everything about that. You know, he's a specialist. You know, man, thank goodness I know a specialist at that. You know, that's the way our hearts go. It's kind of a sinful pride thing. And so, you know, this passage of scripture, James is kind of calling us out. He's like, okay, bring it down. He's like, be quick to listen, be slow to speak, and slow to anger. And he goes on and says, for the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. I think this is an interesting passage, you know, especially when it comes to anger. You know, it's one of those things that a lot of times we're so quick to get angry. And the truth is that we ruin moments in life by doing that. You know, if we could just chill out sometimes, you know, and instead of like, you know, jump into the anger thing, if we would be quick to listen and slow to speak, a lot of times we would recognize there's not really a real need for us to be getting angry. In fact, James is discouraging us from it altogether. You know, he says, what's he say? Verse 20, for the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. You go, well, Chris, I see Jesus get angry a couple times. Yes, a couple of times. You know, angry. Jesus didn't go around like just getting angry at people all the time. And I hear people say, well, you know, I got this holy anger, you know, I think Jesus would discourage us from that. I think Jesus would say, you know what? You didn't see me, you know, throwing tables all the time. That was a one-time deal. You know, and yes, a holy anger can be a godly thing, but the truth is that it should be something that drives us toward God's love and the love of others. Not, hey, let's tear people apart verbally and make them feel like they're this tall. And that's the sinful side that creeps into us that makes us want to, you know, well, I've got a pass on this because it's godly. Not necessarily. For the anger of man, it says, does not produce the righteousness of God. Verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. This is talking about sin. Put away all sin and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Man, I love this book. You know, here's one of those things. You know, he's just very simple. It's so simple that sometimes we just hear it and we go, well, I already know that. Well, okay, do you do it? If you know it, do you do it? Because, I mean, you know, I know that I need to check the tire pressure in my tires when it gets this cold, because the tire pressure changes when it's been really hot and then it gets really cold. I know that I should do that. But do I do it? No. Is there a chance I might be having a flat on the side of the road? Yes, there is. You know, so it's the same thing. You know, do we do what we know we should do? Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. James has given us this just little nugget of gold here, where he's saying, man, you're missing out. If you're wrapped up in sin, then you're not doing the other. You know, he's saying, put it away. Put the sin away. The sin that just keeps knocking you down. Put it away. Get rid of it. Do away with it. Put it out of your life, and instead receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. He's bringing about this understanding that the truth of God that we get in spending time in his word has this amazing impact on our life. Receive it with meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Man, we need that. We're looking for other stuff to save us, though, right? You know, We're looking for the program that's going to, you know, help us to lose 40 pounds before the summertime, or we're looking for this. You know, I mean, we're looking for everything else. But the truth is that we need to be looking for this. We need God's Word. If you're a believer here today, then one of the things that ought to be important to us as a believer is to spend time with Jesus. Spend time with Him. Have a relationship with Him. He didn't just die on the cross for us to, you know, just get a ticket out of hell and all that kind of stuff. That's part of it. But the truth is that there's so much more to it than that. He created us for God's glory. And in creating us for God's glory, there's a purpose in there. There's a life in there. There's a freedom in there. I don't know if you realize this or not. There's a freedom. There's a freedom. There's so many people, unfortunately, that look at Christianity and say, well, you know, that's just it's a bunch of rules and all this kind of stuff. I look at it completely opposite. It is what's given me freedom in this life. It is what God has allowed me as I have followed Him, sometimes not so well because I'm an idiot, but when I have, managed to follow Him, He's allowed me to get to be a part of things that He wants to do. They're amazing. That's freedom in Christ. That's God's will. That's His deal. I want to be a part of His deal. I want to be on His mission. I don't want to be on mine. Mine is dumb, and I always jack everything up when I try mine. I don't know if you've figured that out yet or not, but I have. So therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, I'm going to kind of keep moving because I want us to get to do everything today. But be doers of the word, it says in verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, and I love this illustration he uses right here, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once, forgets what he looks like. Okay, so here's the illustration James is using. He's saying, okay, so if you know what God's word says, if you know that to follow God looks like X, Y, and Z, but then you just look at it and go, I'm not going to do it. You hear the word it says. If you hear it and then don't do it, it is the same thing as if you woke up this morning and you looked in the mirror and you got up out of bed, you go in the bathroom, you look in the mirror, and you see the funky, I've been asleep all night person that you are, right? Spouses, you know you live with some funky people when they wake up in the morning. They don't look like, as the saying goes, every old barn looks better with a fresh coat of paint, right? Some women in here are going to come after me after this service for saying that. And some dudes in here are like, I like that, but I ain't telling my wife that. So don't even get me to do that. But seriously, I mean, it's the idea, it's the premise that we would look in a mirror and we got crazy. I know, crazy. I'm always crazy, whatever. But you got like a booger hanging out your nose or something, and you just go, whatever. Forget it. I don't care. Boogers can hang out my nose. I'll see people all day with boogers hanging out my nose. I mean, when we hear that, it sounds like so ridiculous to us. But how ridiculous is it for us that we've heard the word, but then we choose to do something else? That's what James is saying. He's saying, don't be ridiculous. He's saying, look. For he looks at himself and goes away at once, forgets what he looks like. Verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. So we have this understanding, and it's so simple. But I mean, the truth is we have to be reminded of it because we're just that silly sometimes. He goes on in verse 25, it says, but the one who looks into the perfect law, and I love how he talks about the word right here. The perfect law, the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty. There's that freedom piece I was just talking about a minute ago. We ought to refer to it more that way. The perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Now that's not some name it and claim it deal. That's just God saying, you know what, here's the deal. If you follow me, there are going to be blessings for following me. Are there going to be blessings here? Am I going to get to be rich? No, the Bible doesn't say that. That's a name it and claim it deal. That's a false gospel. You say, well, if I'm nice to everybody, will everybody be nice to me? No, probably not. You know, have you read anything in the Bible? Do you see what they did to so many people in there, you know? I mean, I know we like to think like that, but the world doesn't work that way because it's full of sin. You know, and so we have to deal with that. That's a part of it. But that's part of the fight that we are a part of. That's part of the spiritual war that we are a part of. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. I love how he words that. Being a hearer who forgets, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. There will be reward. Some of those rewards I believe are here. I believe with all my heart that God has blessed myself with getting to experience things that He's done, and so much of that I think at times has been because of faithfulness or whatever. Because I think that we can look at Scripture and we can make, you know, hard, solid, you know, arguments toward, you know, parable of the sower, you know, whatever. You know, it's like parable of the talents. You know, we see, you know, God's not going to give things to people that you know, are not ready for more, or whatever it might be, and that's not necessarily money and things like that, like a lot of people think. You know, sometimes it's different things. Sometimes it's just getting to be a part of something that you enjoy, and get to be a part of something that you enjoy, and get to be Jesus in the midst of that. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but I've been getting to experience some things like that in my life, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that. He will be blessed in his doing. Verse 26, he goes on. He says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. This is interesting, I think, because we don't see religion talked about a whole lot through Scripture. You know, and this is referring to religious people and that kind of thing. James he's talking more specifically, of course, in this particular scenario of what it would look like for us to follow God. And I know that because of what he says in verse 27. Let's read verse 26 again. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart. What he's saying is if you don't bridle your tongue, you are deceiving your heart. Let's say that again. He's saying that if we don't bridle our tongue, we are deceiving our hearts. And I think that that's really important for us because I think for a lot of us, and I'm guilty of this and I'm convicted about it, okay? That's why I'm sharing this with you. You know, a lot of times we think, well, I've got the grace of Jesus. I got the blood of Jesus, you know, covering me. So, you know, when I go day to day, it doesn't really matter if everything that comes out of my mouth glorifies God. It could just be the stuff in the right times or what. And that's not true. That's not what we were called to live for. Jesus didn't die for that. He didn't die for like moments when we're around certain people or whatever. Convicted? Yeah, of course you are. I am too. And whoever does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. I don't want that. And I know you don't want that. So there's thought about, you know, who we're supposed to be all the time, that kind of thing. Verse 27, it goes even further here. Again, we don't want to be hypocrites, right? We want to be doers of the word. We don't want to be those people that are, you know, the people that have turned us off from church in the past, turned us off from more importantly, Jesus in the past. Those kinds of things. We want to be the real deal. Verse 27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this. That's how I know what religion he's talking about here. It's because he says so, that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this. And it is to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Man, that's especially that last part, man, that's tough. That's tough. Because we are called to be in the world. We're not called to make bubbles that we live in, right? We're called to be in the world, that we would be light in the world, that we would be Jesus out there, that people would see Jesus in us, that people might know Jesus because they know us. Very simple. This is us giving glory to God. This is us making Him known. This is Him using us for His kingdom. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. truth is, we need Jesus to do this. We can look at this all day long and go, man, I gotta do better. I've been stinking it up for God here lately, you know? Whew. We need Jesus, okay? This comes when we are in a relationship and growing in our relationship with God. As we are growing in our relationship with God, He hones us and shows us in the little stuff and the big stuff how to follow Him through those moments. This is a concept of not, you know, I go to church on Sunday and I get my Jesus and then I'm okay the rest of the week kind of thing. This is a concept of that we're trying to follow God and we're trying to spend time with Him in a relationship with Him all the time, all during the week. And just so you know, part of the jobs that we have as pastors is to try to, and we don't have it figured out, okay? I'm not perfect on every day, like, oh man, you know, every day is like an awesome day with Jesus kind of thing. I'm just like everybody else. I can get caught up being too busy, whatever it is. But the truth is, part of the job of a pastor is that we would help others in that pursuit of God. And so, you know, if you need help with like, man, I don't know what it looks like for me. I'm not good at reading. I'm not, you know, whatever. We're great at making excuses, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, just so you know, for me, a lot of times me spending time with God, you know, during the day isn't me reading, you know, 10 books of the Bible in a week or something. I don't think that's ever happened to me. Okay. I'm the guy that like, I'll get caught up in a verse. I'll read that verse all week long. Every day sometimes. And as long as God is continuing to speak to me and convict my heart and mold and shape me and make me the person, I'll camp out. It's not about quantity, it's about quality. That we would spend time listening to the Lord. You know, and you may be the person that like do read the whole book, you know, in like 30 minutes and shorter books probably. But you read the whole thing in 30 minutes or something and just go, man, God's just speaking to me and man, it's just really running all over me. And that's awesome. That's great. That's good. You know, it's different for different people, but we want to help you. If you need help with that, come talk to us. Again, we don't have it all figured out, but we want to help you. But we're looking at this passage. And so we know that a big piece of this, I mean, all over this passage is get in the Word, spend time with the Lord, spend time with Jesus, allow Him to do things like save your souls, you know. God wants to do a great work in us, but to do that, that means we've got to be in the Word. We, you know, and we hear that, will we be doers of that? Think about it simply. Quit thinking about it as some mountain that you can't ever climb, because it's one of those things that sometimes it's so simple for us, we don't even realize how simple it might be that God might want to just speak to us about one little thing a day or something, whatever it is. Again, we're glad to help you with that stuff. So, all this to say, as we've been looking at stuff over the last several months, we've been planning and praying and talking about building the buildings here that we've been talking about last few weeks. If you haven't been here, you can hear about that later or something. But in the midst of all that, we felt like God kind of laid something in our lap. And many moons ago, apparently, one of the ladies in our church, Nancy Johnson, her and her husband Bruce and her boys moved here some time ago. And they've been here, I don't know, probably 6 months or something like that. Yeah. And so they were living out of state, moved here to this area, started coming here to church, and God had used them specifically. And if you know Nancy, you know she's got this great heart for like crafty stuff. You know, you follow this lady on Facebook, and it's like Martha Stewart. You know, and I'm imagining like there's hot glue guns like on every table at the house or something. I don't know if that's really true or not, but you know, it just kind of seems that way. You know, and the boys are probably getting burned by them or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, no, it's you know, and she's awesome. She loves the Lord, and she has a friend who is a part of ministry in Uganda at an orphanage. It's an orphanage and it's a school. And so in the process of just because I can tell, I just know because they love the Lord so much, in talks with them, one of the things that came up was that they had a lot of needs there. And so at the church that she was at before, they brought about, you know, saying, hey, how could we be a part of ministry to you guys and be a part of ministry there? And he threw out some opportunities, some thoughts, and ended up that they helped purchase, they sent money to help purchase craft supplies, art supplies. And so the kids over there in the orphanage, in the school, painted some paintings. I don't know if you've seen any of this out in the hallways this morning. It's similar to probably that. And they painted some paintings, and they sent the paintings back, and they sold the paintings at the church she was going to help raise money for their school, for their orphanage. Very, very simple. Here's the beautiful part of this, and I love this because I just found this email late last night that you sent me, you know, some time ago, and it was when we were first talking about all this. And she says, you know, one Sunday she was here and she was listening, and we were talking about how we don't want to build the kingdom of 24. We want to build the kingdom of God. And so what that looks like is that we're not about just ministry here and being about trying to get our stuff done, that we want to be a part of doing things for others. And in being led in that direction, that we don't want to just do things here in Pleasant View. We want to do things around the world. We would love to, you know, and I remember talking that day. I remember kind of saying something to the degree of, you know, and maybe you're here, and maybe you're the person, maybe you're one of those people that's going to help connect the dots to help us figure out how we could ever be a part of doing things like that. And so in the midst of all that, she sent this email and started sharing about this. I'm going to let Nathan share specifically about the opportunity that we've got in front of us today, even, and in the days ahead.
And we do. We've got a really extraordinary opportunity. As I'm talking, you're going to start to see some pictures kind of flow behind us. And the pictures that you're seeing were taken in the country of Uganda in Africa. And these are the children, teachers, you'll see some staff, stuff like that, of the Chosen Junior School. The Chosen Junior School is a school for orphans. And that's where their name kind of comes from. The idea that God loves and cares for orphans, and he will lift them up. He's the father of the fatherless. And so what's going on down here, James, is that James's name? Okay. James is the director of this school. The interesting thing about James's story is that James was an orphan, and he was taken in by a lady, and that lady shared Christ with him. And God saved him and then gave him the heart for orphans. And so now James has devoted his life to teaching orphans. And so the challenge that we have and the way that we want to get involved today is to help James help orphans. See, these kids, they live just kind of all around. And every single day they walk to school. They come around. Sometimes they have legal guardians. Even though their parents aren't alive anymore, they'll have legal guardians. And so they come to the school every day to learn. And orphans aren't cared for, orphans here even, they just don't get the shot that kids with parents do. And so every single day these kids come in, and he gives them an opportunity to learn and go to school, things that we take completely for granted. And so he teaches them things like how to write and how to read, and now art, which is really cool. But he also teaches them about Jesus. He teaches them the Bible. He, in a little town, a little village in Uganda, the kingdom is at hand. Isn't that so cool? These are our brothers and our sisters, our adopted brothers and our sisters. And so today the challenge is this. We've got art hanging out in the hallway, right here, just across this wall. If you were to walk out through the foyer and go down the hall, it's right here. And it's really interesting because all of these works of art have been drawn by the children that we're kind of seeing. Now, they have some struggles right now that they're trying to overcome. One of those things is they don't have the facilities, right? I mean, you see this, right? They don't have a building to really do this well. And so what we want to do today is we want to build them a building. We want to build it. We want to buy every single part of that building. We want to give it straight to them so they can do that. Now, the interesting thing is, you might ask, why? Y'all have been talking about building a building here. Why would we want to invest in money to build buildings there? This is why. Because you are an orphan. Mm-hmm. I was an orphan. And God adopted us. And there's no way, just like James up here, there is no way that you or I can ignore orphans anymore. So this is the challenge. Check this out. It will amaze you. To build their entire building, it will take a little over $4,000. A little over $4,000 will build a whole school for them. And so we want to build it today. Mm-hmm. Today, I know that we can do this. And we encourage you and challenge you to buy a piece of artwork out there. And we're going to ask that there's a suggested donation price of $45. You give whatever God wants you to give. Mm-hmm. And we're not saying this is like above and beyond to of what we would normally give, like tithe. This is sacrificial giving, mm-hmm. right? This is sacrificing and giving up something. And we'll throw $45 away on anything so that these kids can actually have somewhere to go and be fed every day, to get taught things, to enjoy their life, to be prepared to maybe go get a job one day, you know? So we are challenging you to do that. We're going to raise that money today. You with me? We're going to do it. The interesting thing about the art, you see it right here? Every single piece of art, you'll get a picture with it too. And it's the child who drew that piece of art holding that piece of art. So if you're out there going, huh, it's a scam. Nope. right? Oh, no. How do we know where it's going?
Not
it's going
a
to them.
Scam.
it's going straight to them. Today, let's be a blessing. Let's be a blessing. God's given us plenty. And there's a reason that he's given us plenty. It's so that we could serve and bless others who don't have that. So, man, we're excited about doing this. There'll be more to come. We want to build two buildings. That's it. We might be building our own out here, but we're not about buildings. We're about the kingdom.
That's right.
So today, for the gospel, for the kingdom, and for orphans, let's open up our pocketbooks, right? Is that okay to say on this stage?
Go for it.
All right. Money,
we're
money,
gonna
money.
We're going to say it again.
Okay, good.
Sure.
Thank y'all.
This I love this. I love that we get to have a picture of the child that did the drawing or did the paintings. Did each individual painting with it. And what we're asking is, you know, obviously you get to keep this. You know, you do the donation thing, you get to keep it. We're not getting 24 takes none of this money. It's not our money. We will send it all directly to them. But you can take this and take it home and put it somewhere where you can begin to pray for this kid. Remember, they're orphans, you know? This guy's name is Jamaloo, and he's in third grade, and I'm going to guess he's probably about 8 years old. And I have an 8-year-old at home, or here, and I'm just sitting here looking at this. Our reality is not reality sometimes, you know, like we don't realize how good we have it. This is very small. This is very small for us to do this, and my hope and my goal is that we would build a building today, but there we're going to be a part of ministry with them in the future. I didn't really get to say that in the first service. And I hadn't really, like, okayed that with everybody, but I don't really care, okay? You can fire me now if I've done something ungodly, and I'm pretty sure I have. But this is something I feel like God has put in our laps. You know, every once in a while, you have to know, and, like, with stuff like this, it's so hard to know, like, how can we trust? How can we know? We know, okay? We know. And that's awesome. And I'll be honest with you, that's probably why at times in the life of 24 Church, we've not done a lot of international missions because we haven't known. And we're not willing to put our, you know, selves out there on something that we're not confident that really is about the kingdom of God and something that is real and not some scam or whatever it is. This right here, this is my guy. This is Jamaloo. I know I already mentioned his name before, but I picked him out because he painted this like pimp daddy van that's like purple and green and looks like some Snoop Lion would ride around in with a booming system. I love it. I love this. This is awesome, and I'm going to be praying for that dude in the days to come. So there's also, in case you might want to do that and something else, or you might want to do something else. You might just want to say, hey, you know, I'd like to make some large impact in the whole thing. There's these little tags out there that have things like this, and like this one says fencing and gate. $175. If you just want to pick that up and go, hey, I want to do that. You know, you pick the thing up, take it off the wall, go up to the front desk, and you can give them that. Anything, any of the monies in an envelope or on a check or whatever, you designate, write it to 24, but designate in the deal that it is for Chosen Junior School. That is the name of the school, Chosen Junior School. And that's here. If somebody wants to take that one, it'll be right there at the end of the service. So check that out when you're on your way out today. Here's I wanted to share this. This is the passage of scripture that Nancy shared. That by the way, Nancy, I called you Susan throughout half of the first service. If you haven't already heard, because we know a Susan Johnson too, and I kept doing it. Finally, like somebody's like Joey's up here texting me. He's like, you know, Nancy. So I'm so sorry. But Nancy shared this passage of scripture that is the scripture that they kind of based the idea around would be, you know, part of behind the name of the school and some of that kind of thing. And it's this. It's out of Psalm 113, verses 7 through 8. Psalm 113, 7 through 8 just says this. It says, He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of His people. How awesome is that, you know? And again, I'm just reminded, like, this is what God can do. And we can get to play a small part of it. And even if we never get to go, which I hope that we could maybe at some point get to go and you know, help them do something or be a part or just visit or whatever, and just go pray with them or something. You know, I look at this and just go, man, that's amazing. It's amazing that is our God, that the creator of the universe, that He cares about every one of those kids, just like He cares about me and you, despite the fact that we're all a bunch of sinners who have turned our backs on Him at times, and yet He came after us and sent His Son to die for us that we might be saved and that He would take our death for us. That's amazing. That's amazing. In light of all this, I'm reminded that we are adopted as sons and daughters into this family of God, the body of Christ that is the church. And in talking about that today, I just felt like today would be a great day for us to take time out and remember who Christ is and what He's done for us by celebrating His sacrifice and remembering His sacrifice and examining our own hearts for just moments. And taking Lord's Supper together, taking communion together today. And the reason it's called communion is it's done in community with others. And so today we're going to do that together. And as we do that, I want to share a passage of Scripture that is reminding us of who Jesus is, what He did, what was going on that day, you know, when he did first take the Lord's Supper with the disciples. And I read through some passages over the last couple days of where He did that, and I'm reminded of something. I'm reminded that it wasn't just Jesus there offering food and drink. It was Jesus there with a bunch of guys offering food and drink. And I got to thinking about who all was sitting at the table, you know? We don't think about that a lot. We don't talk about that a whole lot when we take the Lord's Supper. We don't think about the other dudes that were sitting at the table who were a bunch of hooligans that He had rounded up and brought from about every walk of life, just to prove that He'll take anybody at any point in their life, wherever they are, and use them for His glory if He chooses to do so. And you look at the folks around the table and you got a guy that has just sold Him out for a little bag of money. And you got a guy who is going to deny Him three times, who was like His best friend. Think about that. Think about, like, if your best friend were to deny that they even knew who you were at the worst possible moment of your life. That's not much of a friend, is it? We'd say, man, I'm kicking that friend to the curb. Not Jesus. Jesus offers bread and wine. And it goes like this, Matthew 26:20. It says, when it was evening, He reclined at the table with the 12. And as they were eating, He said, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were very sorrowful. and begin to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Verse 25, it says, "Judas, who would betray him, answered, 'Is it I, Rabbi?' He answered to him, 'You have said so.'" And then it says, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Jesus was trying to explain to them, whether they really understood it or not, I really truthfully doubt, but was trying to explain to him that his body and his blood would be broken and be shed for their sins, for our sins. You see, the truth is that we as sinners, we weren't just adopted, we've been forgiven. If you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, if Jesus is the one that you hang your hat on, if you believe Him to be the one true God, I'm here to tell you today, an amazing thing has taken place. And that's that He went to the cross and He took the death that we deserve for the sins that we've committed so that we don't have to taste it. We'll never know what it's like. That's an amazing, amazing thing. Not only that, but He defeated death. Again, on our behalf, to prove that He is who He said He was, but also to prove that death couldn't hold Him. Death would hold me or you, but it wouldn't hold Him. This morning, we're going to take a few moments to take communion, to take the Lord's Supper together, and be reminded of who Jesus is. It's a chance for us to remember Him, be thankful, but to also celebrate what He's done and the adoption that we have experienced through Christ alone. Amazing, isn't it? Just amazing. Let me say this. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I've been praying today that today would be the day that you would trust Him to be your Savior. If you're here and you've never trusted in Christ, I encourage you to listen to the Lord if He's speaking to your heart about that today. Don't hang your hat on church attendance from the past or who your parents were or who your grandparents were or anything else. Only in Christ. Only in Christ. If you know Christ, awesome. And if you know Christ today, if you have trusted in Christ today, then I'm inviting you to celebrate with us through the Lord's Supper today. I'm inviting you to take, you don't have to be a church member at 24 Church to be able to take communion with us today. We would love, as brothers and sisters in Christ, for you to join in with us today. If you've never trusted in Christ to be your Savior, I encourage you just to spend the time while we're doing this, I encourage you to spend the time just seeking the Lord and ask the question, why? Why have I not trusted Jesus? And is today the day? And I'll just tell you, if today is the day and you know that today's the day, you come find me. You come find one of us. We'd love to pray with you and talk with you about what it means to know Jesus as your Savior. I've had several people in the last couple weeks just come to me and say things like, "You know, Chris, that sounds good, what I hear about Jesus, but the truth is that there's been so many things in my past that I've done. I know there's no way that God could ever love me." I'm here today to tell you, that's a lie. God loves you. He sent His Son for you. He's coming after you. And He's saying to you today, come on. Come on and follow me. Give up all that stuff. Give up the sin. Follow me. Let me make you new. Never once in Scripture does it say, get your junk together, make yourself clean, and then come to me. It says, come on, just like you are, and let me heal all that junk that you've got in your life. God wants to do a great work in your life. I'm praying that He would. Let's pray together.